Welcome to Federal Insights for October, sponsored by Grant Thornton.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. One of the things about the Defense Logistics Agency is it's been making investments in time and money to move applications to the cloud, hoping to take advantage of both public and private cloud. To learn more about DLA's current cloud efforts, Federal News Network's Jason Miller recently spoke with Adaryl Roberts, DLA's Program Executive Officer.
For DLA, you know, the movement to cloud is providing us great certainty in a time of great uncertainty. With the pandemic, a lot of our operations have had to move virtual. We had to scale a lot, just like commercial world has and other federal agencies. And so the movement to the cloud and using that model enables us to have convenient on-demand networks that are configurable so that we can plus up our networks, our servers, our storage capacity, and applications as rapidly as we need to. And it's also providing us a greater level of resiliency in terms of our Coop strategies in case our primary applications, our environments go down. And so at DLA, we've adopted a cloud-first approach, which is how do we quickly accelerate our application migration to the cloud to enable closing our DLA data centers? There was a DCIO mandate for data center closures issued by DCIO. And so we're well on our way of closing down our data centers and migrating to the cloud. As of today, approximately 91% of our applications are cloud hosted, either through software as a service models for commercial providers or your traditional infrastructure as a cloud.
So 91% of all apps. So is this the last mile now? Everyone talks about the last mile of the marathon is the hardest. Are you in that last mile?
It is. We definitely took that last mile as the hardest mile. And so our early migrations that we took on were what we considered our least amount of risk, but a lot of movement. So our smaller applications were the ones we moved first. We have approximately 195 applications here at DLA, but we saved what we consider our major and most critical applications last so we could implore some lessons learned. So our ERP, our enterprise business system, our FLIS, which does our cataloging modernization, as well as DAS, which does all of the procurement, financial, and contracting logistics integration work across the department. Those are our last major muscle movements to move to the cloud. And because they're so large, those efforts are taking us approximately 12 to 18 months to complete, whereas some of our earlier cloud migrations we did in 6 months.
Let's talk about that idea of the planning process and how you kind of walk through, okay, you take something like the ERP and you can go through whichever ones you want, but something like the ERP, which is a big, it affects everyone, right? It affects the finance, the contracting, the procurement folks, it affects the IT, but also affects the mission areas. How do you bring all those folks together to begin that 12 to 18 month effort to make sure, again, folks aren't just throwing it over the transom saying, okay, Daryl, take care of it, right? We don't want right. that. That's old. That doesn't get done much anymore.
Well, for us, it's not just migrating the current applications to the cloud. It's also for us relooking our business process. And so while we focus on cloud migration as one of the first steps in modernizing our agency, we really look at that as the first step in our digital business transformation journey. And so moving these applications to the cloud enables us to offer the business new modernization opportunities to redefine our business processes so we can be more efficient and more effective. And so when you talk about the move to the cloud itself, we definitely work with our subject matter experts to ensure we don't break any processes. We have what we call mock releases. And for our major ERP, we've broken that out in three phases. And each phase does three mock releases before we actually move that portion of the ERP into the cloud. And so that involves full regression testing with our partners to ensure that the business processes remain intact. And as we move into that cloud, we're also conducting business process reengineering. So the next phase after we have the application in the cloud, how do we return to using standard out-of-the-box functionality where we can change some of our processes, challenge laws or regulations to be more efficient?
So someone may hear you say, wait a minute, you move to the cloud and then you do business process reengineering. Is it just too much to do both business process reengineering and cloud modernization?
Yeah, so we're doing both at the same time, but for us, there were some sustainment, some technical as well as cybersecurity advantages to moving to the cloud in current state. Ideally, you would do a lot of that planning ahead of time and then transition to the cloud. But given where we are from a support structure, the age of some of our software, some of the data analytics capabilities that we'd like to take advantage of, there are advantages to us migrating to the cloud as is while we're doing that business process re-engineering and then converting to a more standard out-of-the-box capability. So this will allow us to take advantage of some predictive analytics, some AI machine learning capabilities that we currently can't do within our DLA hosted environments.
It's interesting because a lot of times you hear, and maybe this is not exactly what you're doing, but you hear this idea of lift and shift, and that gets hot and cold. Are you doing some sort of lift and shift or some hybrid of it? Are you kind of modernizing a little bit, but also taking your current sets of databases?
For our larger systems, it's definitely a lift and shift just because of the sheer size and volume. So there are some cost savings we're going to achieve by having on-demand services that we're now able to reinvest in some of that business process re-engineering and other activities. And so for our larger systems, we definitely looked at what you would call a lift and shift. But while we're doing that lifting and shifting, the business is working a review of their business processes so that once we are stood up in that new environment, and for instance, with our ERP, it's SAP based. And so the technology roadmap for SAP is moving towards software as a service. And so we're preparing to be able to meet that where they're going to be making that available to us in FY26, 27, to be able to take advantage of software as a service capabilities by doing the business process re-engineering now while we migrate to the cloud to where we create some efficiencies and some cost avoidance by having on-demand services. Our smaller applications, for instance, procurement integrated enterprise environment, PIE, which most people affectionately know that's how you get paid as a contractor. That's how DoD pays its bills with wide area workflow. That's where our contracts are, our GPC card. We actually did some changes prior to migrating to the cloud so we could get greater efficiency once we were in the cloud. So it really depends on your use case, and you have to do the business case of what the return on investment would be with the lift and shift versus doing all of the reconfiguration of that application prior to. So for our larger applications, the lift and shift added more value, but for our smaller applications, we're able to get some of that value before we move to the cloud.
And I imagine that once you move it off hosted data centers, there'll be cost savings as well because you're no longer having to support that hardware. That's the other, my understanding, piece to this puzzle.
Absolutely. There are certain costs with the applications you're going to have, whether you're in a DoD data center or within the cloud, when you talk about storage and memory of systems. But the cyber piece, the agility, the flexibility you have, that's where we're seeing our savings. That's where we're seeing some of our efficiencies based upon partnering with DISA, who monitors and helps accredit these DoD hosting environments from a cybersecurity perspective. So you actually achieve a greater sense of cybersecurity working within the cloud environment than the standalone DLA facilities as you move forward. So we are seeing some efficiencies there, but all the costs aren't across the board savings just because, you know, storage and memory cost associated with your applications, they're going to be the same regardless. And you just have to measure for that growth.
Daryl Roberts is Program Executive Officer for the Defense Logistics Agency, speaking there with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll have more from this interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
There are nearly 2 billion websites in the world,
but there's only one that matters to the federal IT community. Welcome to AskTheCIO.com, the longest-running program on federal IT, featuring Federal News Network's executive editor, Jason Miller. AskTheCIO.com. Exclusive CIO and IT decision-maker interviews, breaking news, on-demand and updated daily. Sign up at AskTheCIO.com and become an insider with full access to federal IT news, special events, and actionable intel. AskTheCIO.com.
We continue our interview with Daryl Roberts from the Defense Logistics Agency, who spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
The decision of which applications go to which type of cloud, help me understand how you went through that process, the application rationalization. Are you leaving anything on premise? Is everything eventually going to be totally off premise? Are you going to have a small data center left? Let's start with that decision-making process and then we can maybe go to the long-term plans.
Yeah, so we do have a cloud-first approach at DLA to provide us that flexibility and cybersecurity needs that we have. And so from an application perspective, we are definitely looking at moving all of our applications to the cloud. Now, that also means them meeting not just federal and DOD needs, but also our DLA, AO authority, their cybersecurity needs, but also looking at our business case. And so what we're using here within DLA, folks will refer to as a multi-cloud strategy. So we're not having all of our applications in one cloud. We actually have a concept here where part of our government staff, they are providing the support services for one of our cloud environments. And within another cloud, we're using what we call managed services, where we have a third party vendor that's been authorized by that cloud provider to provide those services. And so we're working based upon what makes the best sense from a business case, a use case perspective, while also ensuring we meet the cybersecurity requirements and needs that we have as an agency.
The multi-cloud strategy and the managed services, that's something we hear often. The DoD likes to talk about the fit for purpose versus general purpose. And however DLA calls it, did you separate it that way as well? Like, oh, this application would work better on this cloud, and this application we think would work better on that cloud. Did you go through that process as part of the business case?
We did to a certain extent. And then some of it was also about data and resiliency. And so whenever you're talking about becoming a digital organization, what that really means is, you know, operationalizing your data so that you become more of an objective organization making decisions, and you increase your chances for automation and predictive analytics so that you're prepared and you can do different scenario-based things. And so we looked at those capabilities, but it was also looking at it from a form, fit, and function so that, you know, you look at the cost, you look at where you can rapidly deploy, how you can scale. Like most agencies, the past few years was our initial venture into the cloud. And so we didn't want to commit ourselves without, you know, having one, gathering enough information so that as we make future cloud decisions, we have a mixed bag of reviews so that we know who would be best of breed moving forward long term.
And then the managed service side of this, that's the other thing that we're starting to hear. Sometimes people call it a cloud broker. Sometimes folks call it some sort of somebody that helps DLA or helps the agency make those decisions about the multi-cloud approach. How are you using managed services? We're using it more traditionally where, like, you think about seat management, if you remember those, that old term from you know, decades ago.
Now, so our managed services that we're deploying across DLA is really looking at it where, for instance, the managed services provider, they're not cloud specific. So they are very proficient in several clouds, and they really are helping train our staff and giving us knowledge that we can eventually have inherently within the government about the important aspects of managing a cloud. What are the key indicators of performance that you utilize with the cloud provider? And then we also are incentivizing our contracts for our managed service providers. You know, as you predict how much cloud storage space and services that we're going to be using, how do we incentivize that contractor for greater accuracy so that we do achieve those savings? But in achieving those savings, reward them for being a good steward as our service managed service provider for an individual cloud provider. So we're trying to be a little different than your traditional managed services that we had about 10, 15 years ago. And really focus on how to incentivize those managed cloud service providers to act on the best interests of the government.
It's the old cost plus type contract, right? Cost plus incentive, cost plus.
Correct.
Yeah. That I think is a very interesting way to kind of address cloud, because there's so many potential efficiencies that can come from it. But if you don't know where they exist, or if the vendor, in your case, the managed service provider, is not incentivized to bring in those efficiencies to you, then they don't get paid as much. Are you finding that's actually a pretty good approach to cloud services? Because I think one of the challenges a lot of agencies face is how to pay for cloud, right? So So that pay by the drink model, the electricity model hasn't quite worked out so well for a lot of agencies.
No, you're absolutely right. And we're struggling with it in trying to implement it as well. But I think it's the right model, because I think the one thing we've just said up front from our perspective is, as much as we want to take advantage of the cloud quickly, we also realize we haven't built up the expertise to know the answer to those questions. And so it's very important to, one, acknowledge that, but then as you incentivize your commercial partners that are assisting you with your cloud journey, we try to make sure that we include in there that knowledge transfer, so that we can inherently have that knowledge, because not only will that help us be able to manage our cloud offerings in the future, it would also help us manage the relationships with those managed service providers to get the most efficiency out of their services as well.
It's interesting about the pay by the drink model. I know the General Services Administration is looking at some changes to their own regulations, the GSAR, the General Services Administration's acquisition regulations, to address this pay by the drink model. They've been working on this new policy for a better part of a year and a half now. So again, going back to the struggle with it, does DLA expect to have some sort of data center in the future? Do you expect to have no data centers? Or are there some applications that will never be moved to the cloud?
Yeah, so from a DLA perspective, we do not plan to have data centers. There will, of course, be things that we provide support for that we call local IT services that will still remain at our locations to support things like VTC conferencing and phone operation, things of that nature. But in terms of data center hosting for major IT capabilities, we don't plan to continue that in the future. For those things that haven't been moved to the cloud, we have those hosted by DISA today. And, you know, DISA is a great partner. As we migrate to the cloud, we've worked with them to use their caps and work with them from a response perspective if there's any instances, security instances that happen in the cloud.
Daryl Roberts is Program Executive Officer at DLA. Hear the final part of our interview with him after one more quick break. I'm Eric White.
There are nearly 2 billion websites in the world.
But there's only one that matters to the federal IT community. Welcome to AskTheCIO.com, the longest-running program on federal IT, featuring Federal News Network's executive editor, Jason Miller. AskTheCIO.com. Exclusive CIO and IT decision-maker interviews, breaking news, on-demand and updated daily. Sign up at AskTheCIO.com and become an insider with full access to federal IT news, special events, and actionable intel. AskTheCIO.com.
You're listening to our interview with Daryl Roberts, Program Executive Officer with the Defense Logistics Agency. He spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
One of the big areas around cloud that we talked about very early on back in 2011, 2012, was the idea it's going to save agencies money. Then agencies seem to realize, okay, it may not save us that much money, but we'll get better services from it. Help me understand how DLA looks at them. What metrics do you look at to say, is this beneficial for us? How is this beneficial for us? And whether this cloud is the right cloud versus we need to move to a different cloud, what kind of metrics are you using to make those decisions?
Yeah, so I think you're right. Initially, everyone looked at the cloud as potentially being, quote unquote, the cash cow of savings. And I think what we've grown to realize, there are definitely some efficiencies and savings that you will have. But for what we do and our mission within the department, and specifically here in DLA, it's really about the increased cybersecurity opportunities, as well as the more affordable resiliency that you have. Because it's on-demand services, because the way the clouds are constructed to create that resiliency amongst your applications, amongst your data, that's where we're seeing our cost efficiencies and savings. But in terms of other operations related to our IT, those are costs that are enduring regardless of where you're operating your IT capabilities. But that's where we're seeing our greatest cost savings. But what we're really focused on is creating that resiliency, given the increased cybersecurity threats that we're having with our partners. You know, China is very active now in the IT space in the cyber role. And if you've been following the news, the increased cyber attacks that have happened, not just federally, but commercially as well, that have shown how not having resiliency in your cybersecurity network can create issues for the way we live our day-to-day lives. And so while cost savings are important, we also realize from a mission perspective, Having that flexibility to have the resiliency in operations is most important.
The resiliency piece is interesting. Let's go down that path for a second, because the reason why the cloud gives you that resiliency is why. Walk me through some of the changes that the cloud gives you versus keeping things on-premise with the old school backup somewhere in the hills of West Virginia.
Yeah. So, you know, the way that the commercial providers have constructed their cloud environments in terms of how they do the data replication, how they split out their various hosting facilities based on regions, east, west, north, south, whatever the cloud provider. It has just allowed us, because you're not operating on dedicated servers, physical servers, you're really operating on virtual server environments. That's increased our ability to have that resiliency, because we're not paying for dedicated support to watch a set of servers, to watch a set of tapes, whatever backups that we have on site. And so through that shared services concept, you're gaining efficiencies in your operations. If you think about it from an organizational perspective, a lot of organizations have moved to what they call matrix support, right? Where there's common types of support required. Instead of having one for one matches, they've matrixed the support based upon the level of work or the volume of work for a certain function. It's similar type of concept when you look at the way these commercial cloud environments are set up. It's really scaled based upon the type of support you need across their cloud environment versus dedicated support.
The other piece to that as well is that the cloud service providers add that level of security that you don't have to worry about, right? It's a shared responsibility. We've heard that time and again, but you know they're going to keep certain patches up to date. And if they don't, that's a bigger problem, not just for you at DLA, but for all their users. So that also lends itself to a little bit of, what's the best word there, right? Not relaxness, not calmness, but at least a little bit of surety.
A little bit of, you get to sleep an extra 30 minutes at night, right? No, you're absolutely right. I think the FedRAMP program that helps oversee and authorize and validate these commercial cloud providers frequently and on a regular basis is key to why we want to leverage these environments. You have a body that is responsible for ensuring that they're meeting the cybersecurity requirements at a federal level, but then also working with DISA, who looks at it from a DoD perspective, where we have additional security controls that need to be in place. Having them as a partner doing that oversight as well is vital, because those are things now that we don't have to plan our resource for. And we just partner with DISA and the FedRAMP office to get reports, understand what has been done, what hasn't been done, what are the vulnerabilities, when will they have the vulnerability addressed. And so that's definitely a plus in terms of dealing with the cloud provider versus managing your own environment.
That's Daryl Roberts, Program Executive Officer with the Defense Logistics Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. If you missed any part of this interview, you can find it on our website. Head to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for October, sponsored by Grant Thornton on Federal News Network.
There are nearly 2 billion websites in the world.
But there's only one that matters to the federal IT community. Welcome to AskTheCIO.com, the longest-running program on federal IT, featuring Federal News Network's executive editor, Jason Miller. AskTheCIO.com. Exclusive CIO and IT decision-maker interviews, breaking news, on-demand and updated daily. Sign up at AskTheCIO.com and become an insider with full access to federal IT news, special events, and actionable intel. AskTheCIO.com.